It's a great day in the life of the church, and like any birthdays that we celebrate, it's good for us to have this time of remembrance of the birth of the church. When we think about the ministry of Jesus, it was indeed wonderful. The disciples flocked to him. Many people came to see the miracles that he would perform. Many people were touched by his life, but at his death, there were only about 120 faithful left. There were 11 apostles, and they were scared to death without their leader being present. They wandered around. Jesus appeared to them in various places. They went back to Galilee, but he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait, and he would send the Holy Spirit. So they were gathered there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which was maybe the second highest holiday in the Jewish faith at that time. But a lot more people came to Jerusalem during Pentecost than they did during Passover because the weather was better. See, people haven't changed in all of these centuries. When the weather's good, you know, we go somewhere. When it's lousy, we stay in and sleep. Well, not as many people came to Passover as came to Pentecost. I mean, they came far and wide from many different countries. We always have a challenge when we have to read those sections. Laurie did a good job. But all of these people came from different countries. They were united by faith as Jews. But they were divided by race. They were divided by language. They were divided by national boundaries. And they were gathered there on the day of Pentecost. And while they were there, something strange happened to this group of disciples. You might say they became human candles. That's something I should have thought of to tell the kids. Because it says that the Holy Spirit descended upon them as if it was a flame of fire resting on their heads. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the miracle of Pentecost was a miracle of hearing. Each person there began to hear in their own native language. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like the reverse of the Tower of Babel, when man became so arrogant that he wanted to build a tower to reach what was, God scrambled up that project by creating the different languages of the earth. So they couldn't communicate and they couldn't complete their task. And now, in the building of a new tower, the church, God performs a miracle through the Holy Spirit. So each person heard in their own language. It was kind of like a United Nations meeting without the headphones. You know, you go to the United Nations and the delegates put on the headphones and there's a translator to translate into each delegate's language what is being said by the speaker. But God did this through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the people were amazed, but they thought those crazy guys, those 11 guys up front, were really nuts. They thought they were drunk. And Peter had to get up and say, "Hey, wait a minute, guys. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drinking yet. Maybe later. I don't know. But we're not drinking. This is something amazing." And he tells them of the story and the prophecy of Joel that God promised he would pour out his Spirit on his people near the end of days. And explained this to the Jews because that was a part of Jewish scripture, and then told them about Jesus Christ, and the church was born that day. But you see, I'm a little worried because I think we have a problem in most Protestant churches, certainly mainline churches, with the Holy Spirit. I believe we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Why do we fear the Holy Spirit? I mean, we've even coined a term called charismophobia. We're worried about becoming some wild charismatic that goes around speaking in tongues and trying to anoint everybody with oil and heal them of all kinds of things. We're afraid that somebody is going to get the Holy Spirit and come in and start to pray and everybody's going to be slain in the Spirit. If you've ever seen one of these TV shows where people are doing healing and people just pass out and fall backwards. But you see, we kind of throw out the baby with the bathwater when we don't realize the power of the Holy Spirit for the life of the church. We talk about the Holy Spirit, but it's kind of an intellectual thing. The disciples allowed the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and transform them. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in the Gospel of John said there are three functions at least of that Spirit as he's talking to Philip. He tells him that the Holy Spirit will be your advocate, your counselor. Maybe a better term for our day is a guide. The Spirit will guide you. Number two, the Holy Spirit will teach you all of the things you need to know. And third, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that you need to know to be my disciples. And you can't receive this wonderful gift until I go away. That's why he was telling them about that before he died. So on the day of Pentecost, when they received that wonderful, marvelous gift, they could remember what Jesus said. But you know, Philip was hard-headed. You know, one of the things I love about the disciples is they're so much like you and me. You know, they were hard-headed, stubborn, foolish. I mean, all the things that we are. And old Philip said, "Show me the Father." Well, you know, we don't talk about this too much. We say, "Show me the money." Remember the movie about the high-priced football player? And what was the guy's name? You know, the pretty boy actor. Tom Cruise. Yeah, there you go. I knew some woman would remember that. Tom Cruise with the agent. And you know, we live in a world where it's all about, show me the money. I want to see the money. Well, thank goodness Philip said, show me the Father. I want to see the Father. I'll really believe it if I see Almighty God. And Jesus said, Philip, boy, how dense are you? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But if you can't believe that, believe the works that... And then Jesus makes a promise. Greater works than these you shall do when I leave. We can do greater works than Jesus did? Wow, what church is doing that? Huh? But it's a promise. And it's there in Scripture. I believe it. I just believe we haven't lived up to the great potential that we're called in the name of Jesus Christ to live up to. I believe we haven't really opened ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit because we're afraid God will have us to do some weird things. You know, we'll be taking a trip on an airplane and the Holy Spirit will come upon us and we'll stand up and start witnessing to everybody on the plane. Oh God, I'd be so embarrassed. I don't want to do that. Or I'm walking down the street and the Holy Spirit comes upon me and I just start grabbing people and telling them about Jesus. I mean, we fantasize about all kinds of things that if we really give ourselves over to the Lord, He's going to have us make us look really dumb. Now, why would God do that? Now, I know there's some weird people out there that have the name of Christian on them. And I know Christians sometimes do some weird things. And I suspect every once in a while, God leads Christians to do something that looks weird. Jesus told Philip and the other disciples, he said, you know, I'm giving you something that the world can't understand because it doesn't know the Spirit. But you do. Because it's already in you. It was in us when we were created. In the first two chapters of Genesis, we're told about creation. And we're told how God took the clay of the earth and molded the first man and breathed into his nostrils the Ruach Elohim. We're going to sing in a few moments, "Breathe on me, breath of God." We're asking for the Spirit. Because the word Ruach means spirit, wind, breath. When we sing that hymn, we're saying, "Send the Spirit to me, Lord. Change and transform me." You know, I really struggled with the creation story. Because Adam told Eve, "Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And then he added a little something to it. You know, husbands ad lib, don't they, women? You know, they want to add a little to it. And so he says, "Don't even touch it." Well, God didn't tell him that he couldn't touch it. He said, "Just don't eat of it." But he told Eve, "Don't eat of it, don't touch it. Because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." Well, you know, they ate of that tree, and I didn't see anybody keel over dead, did you? I missed that part. Something died, though. If that was a part of the curse, something died. And you know what I think it was? I think it was the fullness of the Spirit in each human being died that day. Sin is being dead to the fullness of the Spirit of God. We talked about last week an Old Testament term associated with Spirit. The Shekinah, the glory of God, died that day in human beings. And Jesus came back and died on a cross so that we could experience the fullness of the glory of God. We could experience the Shekinah, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we would be recreated into what God intended us to be in the beginning. That's worth celebrating. That's what we celebrate as the birthday of the church. But you see, we need that in the life of this church. If we're going to be all God has called us to be, we need to be truly led by the Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And I don't mean speaking in tongues and doing a lot of things that you might fear or doubt right now. But to accomplish all that God has in store for us, we need to open ourselves up to Almighty God the way the disciples did. We need to say, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew." That we can be all that God called us to be, to do His work through this church, in this community, and beyond. But I really think we're afraid of that. We're afraid to take that step. We're afraid to open our lives up that much to God. So Jesus, anticipating that, shared these words that Laurie's already read to you, but I'll read again. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to open ourselves up to the very Spirit of God, so filling us with His love that we can be instruments of His love and peace. That we can overcome our fears of being totally committed to God. And we can share that peace with others who desperately want to hear about it. Will you accept the challenge today? Will you celebrate the day of Pentecost by saying, Lord, I open myself up to Your Spirit, fill me, and make me a worthy disciple. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Gracious Father, it's easy to be a Christian in our head and say we accept these ideas. It's easy sometimes to be a Christian in our heart and admit that we need You. But sometimes, Father, we're very much afraid of giving it all over to You because we're afraid of what we'll have to give up or what we'll have to do. We thank You that Your Son anticipated our fear and offered us Your peace, that we might not be afraid of opening ourselves up to You. And when we do, You will make us a mighty church as You did in Jerusalem that day. And their numbers increased daily because their ministry was filled with the Spirit. We ask this for our church today. In Jesus' name, amen.